37th Psalm, beginning at the first verse, Psalm number 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That's Psalm 37. 1 through 11. 37th Psalm, we remember we're giving this little series from the book of Psalms. We're still in the Genesis book of the Psalms, but this 37th Psalm has long been a favorite of mine. And when you go into the books, you find out the Sansino, which is the Jewish commentary, says that this is dealing with the problem of evil. Another one says this is a path to sanity for the just. Another, this is present blessing in a time of trial. All different, this psalm is labeled all these different labels, and they all fit. Because when we worry about evil and evil people and evil things that are done on the earth and the fact that the righteous don't seem to be the ones that are flourishing. It seems to be that those who are mean and wicked, they seem to be the ones that are making the gains. But there, if you're taking notes, the 73rd Psalm and Job, the 21st chapter, both treat approximately the same subject. In other words, what are we going to do with those that seem to be mean and wicked, and they seem to be prospering. God, why don't you take care of them? And love, and all these different thoughts that come to us. Why do you allow this? And so forth. But it is just these are very helpful to me. Like the 21st of Job, the 7th verse. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, and mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their cattle produce, and they send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance, and they have timbrel and harp and so forth. But then he goes on to say, well, God knows. God will take care of it in due time. And it seems, a lot of people might consider it a kind of a, what we would say, a cop-out, that you say, well, you're just taking that attitude because you can't do anything about it. But the 73rd Psalm, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But then he said, I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride comes to them about as a chain, and so forth. And so he goes on and talks about the ungodly, how they seem to prosper. The 12th verse of the 73rd Psalm, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And he said, all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. And he said, when I thought of, to know this, it was too painful for me, so I went to the sanctuary of God, and I understood their end. So he said, then I decided I did not want, should not envy them, because when you look at the end, when God rules and takes care of all these problems, they're going to get theirs in due time. So as I look at life and I've looked at some of the things that have happened to me through the years, I could have been cynical. I could have turned aside from God. I could have felt that He didn't care. But in the end, when I stop and think about it and my sanity returns, I realize that it was okay. And some of you were around when I went through my problems with the Reedy River property in the late 80s when the city took the property by eminent domain. And God bless Anita, she had spent all that money on that property, fixing it up for what they called the textile place development. And the city came along and they appraised her property at $240,000 and gave her $120,000 for it. Recently, when they took the properties by eminent domain on the south side of the bridge, they got millions. And so it just didn't seem right. And I went to city council meetings, and I never will forget Jimmy Snyder telling me I was a liar in public. And so at a city council meeting, and I took out my little notebook. I was talking about a meeting, what was said and so forth, and I took out my little notebook, told who was there, the date, and what was said. And then there was a man on the council, and he said, I believe we owe Mr. Farrell an apology. And so anyway, there was a man by the name of John that was the hatchet man. I'm not remember his last name, but he was the hatchet man for the city. He felt so bad about what he did to us people, he killed himself. So when you stop and think, where are they now? Well, Jimmy Snyder, as you know, he had the car dealership in town, and he went belly up. The feds and the state and all of his creditors came in and took him over and closed him out. There was another man who lived on Crescent Avenue. He was in on it. He was one that had his daddy declared insane so he'd get his house. Well, he lost the house. And the last I knew, he was managing a gift shop down at the beach. So when I think about all these people in high and mighty places that were against us and did all this evil to them, if I had been the kind to want to get even with people and so forth, I may have tried, but I just realized, well, just the old Southern expression, what goes around comes around, and if you just wait long enough, things will even out. In other words, the 37th Psalm was one of my paths to sanity, was to go to this and just say, well, this is, I'm doing what's right. They're not. In the end, it's going to work out. But the thing that still bothers me, I mean, I don't hold grudges, and I'm not angry with anybody, but I just realize that some of those same people are still going high and mighty. And the only thing that, as far as I could ever see at the time, and I think it's still true, they were driven by money. They didn't care about history. They took the old Reedy River building off of the historical registry, and they just did everything they wanted to do, and it was all money. And so there are a lot of those people that I just didn't have much time with for then, and I still don't, but I don't wish them ill because I think most of them are getting it anyway. But the thing that, well, I'm just talking about that as a kind of a personal example, but it was close to home, and it hurt very bad at the time. But I want you to know that recently, when I was cleaning up at home, I shredded all of the materials having to do with that episode. So I put it behind me. Shredded it all. So I don't have any records that shredded my notebooks, my notes, everything I had having to do with that fight. And so it's behind me. And we're just leaving it to God to do what is right in the end. So the 37th Psalm deals with the problem of evil. It deals with the path to sanity for the just. It deals with the present blessing in time of trial. And this is a Psalm of David. And he starts out with the very first verse. In fact, I don't think it's too important for us in our study, but I did see this in my study, that the 37th Psalm is an acrostic. An acrostic, I know you've seen them. It's just like on Mother's Day, we'll say M-O-T-H-E-R, and then you have something for each one of those. So this is an acrostic based on the Hebrew alphabet. And the whole psalm, they just take a letter of the Hebrew alphabet and say, M is for this, O is for so-and-so. But anyway, just like I'm using that as an example. And there are four lines in the Hebrew for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet, except for the fourth, the 11th and 19th, there are just three lines. But it starts out with an admonition and reasons. Then it goes to contrast between the lawless and the righteous. Then it goes back to admonition and reason. Comes back to contrast of righteous to lawless. Goes back to admonition and reason. Then comes back to contrast between the lawless and the righteous. It goes back and forth. In other words, fret not thyself because of evildoers. This is an admonition. And the reasons, don't be envious against the workers of iniquities. Why? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Another admonition, trust in Yahweh and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in Yahweh, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He's admonishing us. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in Yahweh. Wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Another admonition, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. For... here's the reason. For evildoers shall be cut off. Those that wait upon Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So it's back and forth between admonishing us or begging us or asking you to do right. And then why should you? Because this guy that's doing you hurt, this guy that's doing you evil, God will take care of him. I don't know why it was, but when I was in public work, it seemed like in offices and stores and everywhere I worked, I always had one person that was a thorn in the flesh, somebody that you worked with that was always out to do you bad, cut you and do things bad to you. But I just went on, and I knew it would change someday. So we're to commit our way to the Lord on this. The margin on that, if I can find it, 37:5, roll your way upon the Lord. And they were just kind of rolled over. Turn it over to him. Instead of trying to get even, just turn it over to the Lord. And he will take care of it. Trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. One of the things that we would make a study from this particular text is what happens to the wicked. It said they shall be as though they had not been. Now, the Church of God, Abrahamic faith, has been called annihilationists. Annihilationists have to do with putting somebody out of existence, but that's really what the Bible teaches. God is a God of love, but He is a God of judgment and justice, and the wicked will be rewarded. But it's not with torment. It's being put out of existence. That's what He would do. In fact, farther on down here, it says that they shall consume like the fat of lambs on an offering. They'll just consume into smoke. That's the 20th verse. The wicked shall perish. That doesn't mean be preserved. It means perish, to go out of existence. If you see perishable on an item, it means fruit or vegetables or something that can go out of existence, rot or go away. And but the enemies of the Lord, of the Yahweh, shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. Shall they consume away? So, in other words, He's begging us to do right, and then He tells why. That is, don't worry about that guy. God's going to take care of him. And He says that over and over. And I think that's very good. One of the things I noticed in reading the Hebrew version of this particular psalm, that when it says they shall inherit the earth, it's the word land all the way through. In fact, you'll notice here that part of the time it says they shall inherit the land, and in other places they shall inherit the earth, but it's land all the way through. And what land? Well, it's the promised land, the kingdom of God on the earth. So, over and over, back and forth, do good. Don't worry about this person. It goes down to the 12th verse, and here you have these contrasts between the lawless and the righteous. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent the bow, to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. And it goes on down a little, that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken. This is a very strange statement, but it just shows that they will be helpless to help themselves. But Yahweh upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of Yahweh shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. Into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the land, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. So here you see these contrasts. The steps of a good man are ordered to the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for Yahweh upholdeth him with his hand. And this is a personal testimony of David. I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. So here you see, in this section from 12 to 26, that you have these contrasts between the righteous and the wicked, what the wicked do and what the righteous do. And they are a contrast. They're opposites between the two. So, but again it says, though that be blessed of him shall inherit the land, and their steps are ordered of the Lord. That 25th verse about him being young and now old, it was a testimony of his that his seed were not begging bread. That doesn't mean we would not come into troublous times, or we would not come into lean times. It just meant that we would not be forever cast down or broken down. I've seen some very lean times in my years of of my life, but always made it, and we're blessed in many ways. Okay, verses 27 to 29, we have an admonition and reasons again. Here's the admonition: depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore. For Yahweh loves justice, and forsaketh not the saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. So there is a reason for our actions. In other words, a lot of people, I have a feeling, go through life without ever an aim, without ever, they just rock along, whatever comes along. They just act, they react to things, and they just do what they please, but they don't seem to have any method or any aim. But we do have an aim. Our aim is to be in the kingdom of God. And as a result, our actions are those that are meant to for us to inherit that end. And that's the reason we're not mean to those who are mean to us. That's the reason why we do good and try to live a righteous life. 30 through 33, we have contrast again between the righteous and the lawless. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of justice. The law of God, of his God, is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. But the wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. Yahweh will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. So here you have the contrast again between the wicked and the righteous. So again we come back to admonition, verse 34. Wait on Yahweh, keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Not that we shall look upon the destruction of the wicked with joy, but rather that the time will come when it will be revealed the way we have been living and how God has designed to reward us for that. The 35th through the 40th verse, or the end of the chapter, is again talking about the contrast between the lawless and the righteous. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. The margin and some of the other versions it looked at, it says it's like a tree planted in its own native soil. But I also think that there was a reason for this green bay. I don't know about Israel, but I know that its climate and all is very similar to California. And I never will forget green bay trees. We have bays here, but out there, the green bay, out along the coast, when you go up Highway 1, bays go up the side of the hill and they're windswept, and they'd be maybe 100 feet across and no higher than 2 feet off the ground because they're just windswept. And wherever they go along, wherever a branch touches the ground, it roots. And so when you say spreading himself as a green bay tree, it's just it's lush and it's beautiful and it's wonderful how this tree can be so big and spread like it does. And so when I say the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree, I see those trees. And they really are spreading themselves. But that's how the wicked do today. And all of us know, because of, for instance, in this political year, really, when you think about people seeking office, it's power that they want. It makes no sense whatever for a person running for a state office or even a national office to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars just to get that office. They don't want it for the amount of pay they get as a representative or a senator or as a president. It's that power that they want. And so that is the way of the world. It's power. And of course, money is power to a great extent. But anyway, He said, yet he passes away, and lo, he is not. I sought him, but he could not be found. Yes, you think he's got it made, but he doesn't. Because not long, he isn't there. So in contrast, he said, mark the mature or perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Surely, when anybody ever talks to me about Christianity, and a lot of people don't like Christians, and they don't like the Christian way, but to me, the fruit of being a Christian is love and peace and long-suffering and goodness and mercy. And all the fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians, the 5th chapter. And even that verse in the Acts about Jesus, he went about doing good. Isn't that a wonderful thing to say about somebody? He went about doing good. And that's what we see in the righteous. Mark this man. Behold the upright, because of the end of that man is peace. But transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. In other words, they will not continue. They will be as though they had not been. But the salvation of the righteous is of Yahweh. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And Yahweh shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. So here, over and over again, we have this contrast between the wicked and the just, between those who are trying to serve God and those that are serving themselves. And there is a great contrast. But over and over again, we want to see those admonitions as to the way we should live and not to try to get even with people. There is a text, Romans 12th chapter, that I think goes right along with this. And it's the 17th to the 21st verses. Romans 12. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. I like the way it says it here. If it be possible. It isn't always. But if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Some versions say, where it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Those are tough words, I tell you. We know that they're for our good, but to do that is very difficult. But to just have to remember, vengeance is God's, and he'll take care of it in due time. So the thing that we need to do is to be sure that we are on the right road and just go ahead. Don't let anything stop us. Don't let anything turn us aside. Don't let anybody turn us aside. Let not anything that anybody does to us turn aside from this right path to try to get even with them. Expect adversity. Expect enemies. But just remember that God is with us and he will make everything right in his time. So it does pay to serve the Lord and will pay in the end when it comes to the time of reward. And we know that time is coming. God, may God bless us through this psalm.